Hallelujah. If you haven't figured it out yet, I love to worship. I love to worship. Hallelujah. Oh, obedience is the key to loving God. Hallelujah. That's the name of our sermon tonight. God makes the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to him. In Jesus' precious name. My Lord and my strength. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord has been dealing with me about this subject because it has been a real issue in my life. There were a lot of rules that I just kind of put to the side, put on the back burner. There are things that are absolute and need to be taken care of as soon as possible. But I need to understand that to obey the rules and to do things in a timely manner, not to do them when I want to do them, that's the problem. Obedience. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his brother or his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and anointed you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. John 14:15. An American, Amplified Classic. It says, if you really love me, you will obey my commands. And also in the American Classic, or the Amplified Classic, it says in Colossians 1:4, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the leaning of your entire human personality on him, an absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and of the love which you have and show for all the saints, God's consecrated ones. Do I obey God? Wish I could say yes, but there are many times I don't. I look at my life, and honestly, I can say that there are times when I just say yes, I obey him, but there are times when I don't. I have a real challenge. My challenge is stubbornness. It says to love one another. Do I actually do that? I try, but I can honestly tell you that there are times when I don't. Am I willing to die for my brother? That's another question. Wow. It says that you are my friends, and if you obey my command, and when you obey my commands, you are my friends. If we want to be Jesus' friend, then we need to obey him. We're servants, but we're his friends. We're his friends. His love has to be the most important thing in our lives. His love. In Mark 12:33, it says, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. In 1 Samuel 15:22, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and the heed than the fat of the ram, of the fat of the rams. You see, Samuel was talking to Saul about that, King Saul. You know, Saul didn't realize that God said, what he said was actually, you might say, poured in concrete. Because God does what he says he'll do. Saul was supposed to take all the animals that were taken by taken as spoils and sacrifice them to God. Instead, he let the people take them, take the spoils for themselves. It was fear of rejection. It got a hold on Saul, and he gave in. I am sure that King Saul thought, hey, he could confess his sin. God would give him another chance. But you know what? God was sorry he made Saul king. I learned when God does anything, it's absolute and it's binding. God's word is true. When he says something, he means it. Now, I used to be a Catholic. How many in here are used to be Catholics? Yeah, there you go. See, there's a lot of Catholics in here. And it seemed like I was always fasting. 40 days of Lent. Fridays, I ate fish and shrimp. And then when I did communion, when I was very small, I had to fast 3 hours before communion. And then it changed to 1 hour. Praise the Lord. And so now, you know, you don't have to do that. But I look back and I go, boy, I was kind of a half Christian. How was that? How's that? I knew Jesus. I knew he was my Savior. But I never knew him as Lord 24/7. So when things got a little sticky, my attitude would be fast. Hey, I can do fast. I can do that. Even when I knew Jesus fully and started attending ABC, that was my attitude. All that changed when 1 Samuel 15:22 convicted me and came alive in my spirit. To obey is better than sacrifice. What constantly comes to mind is a story of Pastor Joshua when he first became a Christian. And there was a church that he was going to, and I always mention this, but you know what? It's been a story that just resonates in my heart, because they always ask him, even though he was a young believer, they would always ask him to go to the hospital and pray for people, and they would get healed. But would they ask the other people, what he thought were mature Christians in the church? They didn't ask him. They didn't ask them. So he said, "Lord, why is it they're always asking me? And none of these mature Christians." Well, he got his answer. The Lord spoke to him and said that because the power you're experiencing is because you are in obedience. You obey. The power of God's love goes through you. And when you obey, healing takes place. See, that statement has always stuck with me. It's obedience that's the key to everything. It breaks the hindrances that are between you and God. It breaks that. You want the love of God to flow through him and to you. And it's that obedience that will do that. In Romans 5:19, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." In 1 Peter 1:2, it says, "You were chosen according to the purpose of God, the Father, and were made holy people by his Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ, to be purified by his blood. May grace and peace be yours in full measure." Wow. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, "With a flaming fire to punish those who reject God and who do not obey the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ." So what happens when we don't obey? We open ourselves up to attack of Satan. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." You open yourselves for attack. It's just like opening the gate. Sickness, disease, pain, whatever. Whatever the Satan wants to attack you with, he will. It's because you're in disobedience. The blessings of God do not come to us. That's right. Like in tithing. In Malachi 3:8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation." In 10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me, That's the only place in the Bible that says, try me. That's the only place. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out you for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Wow. You know, the blessings of God do not flow to others. That's what happens when you sin. You know, the blessings come to you. And here's your family. And all of a sudden, they're not coming to you because you're sinning. You're in disobedience. Are the blessings coming to them? No. It stopped. Our hearts get hardened. And then our trust in the Lord is diminished. For our heart condemns us. God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Our conscience is seared. In Psalm 95:8, it says, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as of the day of temptation in the wilderness. So, what happens when we obey God? Well, according to Webster's Dictionary, to obey, to comply with commands, orders, or instructions of a superior, or with requirements of law, moral, political, or municipal, to do that which is commanded or required, or to forbear doing that which is prohibited. There was a statement in Webster's Dictionary that really just caught me. It says, he who has learned to obey will know how to command. Now, many of us know the prophecies. We know, you know, most of us know that we're pretty much in end times. And if we end up in the 1,000-year reign and we're ruling with God, I think this statement really rings true. We will know how to command because we already know how to obey. Blessed are those who obey. Blessed and happy, in Romans 4:8, it says, blessed and happy to be envied is the person whose sin the Lord will take no account, no reckon it against him. That's Amplified Classic. And in Psalm 112:1, it says, praise the Lord. Happy is the person who honors the Lord, who takes pleasure in obeying his commands. The good man's children will be powerful in the land. His descendants will be blessed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your obedience results in your abiding and abiding in his love. Amen. 2 Chronicles 6:14. He prayed, Lord God of Israel, in all heaven and earth, there is no God like you. You keep your covenant with your people and show them your love when they live in wholehearted obedience to you. And that's in the Good News Bible. Praise God. We desire to serve him. Yes, we do. In John 13:12, it says, after Jesus had washed their feet, he put his outer garment back on and returned to his place at the table. He says, do you understand what I have just done to you? He asked. You call me teacher and Lord, It is right that you do so, because that is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You, then, should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you so that you will do just what I have done for you. In Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." When you are obedient to God, it shows him that you love him. You want to serve him. Even though it says that we are his friends, yes, we are. We desire to serve him. We desire to give our lives to Jesus, who was willing to die for us and to give his life for each one of us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Boy, Pastor Michael is really easy on you guys, huh? Look at that. Wow. I thought he's going to go to 10 o'clock. Well, let me just say a few words, okay? You know, we like to use big words and big expressions like spiritual warfare, right? And dominion and all this stuff. But you know what it really comes down to is loving God enough to be obedient to him. And what spiritual warfare really is, it's the devil trying to get you not to be obedient to God. That's all it comes down to. If you're obedient to God, the devil can do whatever he wants. It ain't going to bother you in the least bit. Because when we're obedient to God, we're not obedient to the devil. You know, in that wonderful pictogram, if you will, where you're standing in the middle of a room, and along one side, all the angels are lined up, and along the other side, all the demons are lined up. And based on the words you say, one line starts to move towards you. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, "The angels are waiting for the voicing of God's word." They await the voicing of God's word. So you're standing in the room, and you voice God's word, and God's angels start to come to help you. You voice the devil's word, the demons start to come to help you. Now, God's angels want to help you into success. The demons want to help you into a grave. It's just a question of partnership. So which words do you speak? It depends on whether you love God enough to speak his words. It's almost all a question of loving God enough to be obedient to speak his word and do what it says. And therein lies the rub. Therein lies the spiritual warfare. Therein is where we can all stand back and say, "Pastor Michael, you mean you actually are disobedient to God?" Right? We can look at him and say, "He stood up here and said it. We all know he's been disobedient to God." The rest of us, hey, we're all obedient all the time, aren't we? Yeah. Cool, right? Okay. So that's what it comes down to, is loving God. And as Jesus says, "My Father will know you love me if you keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous." Amen?
Amen.
Because his commandments are meant for us to be blessed and prosperous. No, the good news is that when you make a mistake and you disobey him and you sin, you can confess your sins and you're washed by the blood of Jesus, and God's grace puts you where you can start all over again. And hopefully when we start over with the determination in our heart this time. This time we're going to do better than last time. Right? Last time went a whole half an hour without disobedience. But this time, I'm going to do 35 minutes without disobedience. Right? Okay, so that's it, okay? Spiritual warfare is just a question making a choice. Obedience on our obedience. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sarah?